You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, we left our homes up in Bristol Bay for the waters of Miami shore. With a hippo at the helm and our severance pay, we fly the pirate flag once more. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Well, the ship is a wreck, shit stains the deck as Michael Hollow's fellas make more. And Billy is a worry that he's got the scurvy, cause Chris ate all the limes in store. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum, he's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less, and Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Someone yelled ahoy, who the hell's cabin boy? Somebody named Tony, who knows? Once we got the skip, well, a mean jump ship, cause he knew we would sail to gold. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the Pirate Radio.
Weird cultivating you guys are doing of Uncle Dick's and Go Yes. Piss Mike. Yeah. I told him a 5-minute interview, ask all that you can of Bruce.
Yes.
Oh, Bruce. Yes. I talked to Bruce to get him on. I tried to get Bruce to be our last celebrity prognosticator, but we were having a very rough, what day was it? Was it the last show or the last Friday? I think it was the last Friday. So I was like scrambling because the person that we were going to have on didn't work out. So I was like mourning of like, oh my God. And so I'm like, Danny, send me Bruce's number. So I talked to Bruce. Bruce totally blew me off. Didn't answer at all. There was like three people in. We were asking everybody like, hey, can you come on? The person bailed. We really need someone. And Bruce was like my Hail Mary. So no lie, 15 minutes before this person joined as our final celebrity prognosticator, I was texting this person like, hey, you know, it's going to be one of our last shows. The guys really love you. It'd be great. Absolutely. What do we do? I was like, can you join on Zoom? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We'll do it for sure. Let us know. We'll be in right now. And then I was like trying to coordinate to surprise you guys. I could not wrangle Bruce. But within 15 minutes, I could get Ric Flair on a Zoom to be the celebrity prognosticator.
Well, Billy, this is amazing that one of our last shows was going to be you nailing the dismount on celebrity booking with Bruce. You know,
yeah,
how the whole joke is just piss Dan off. That's the entire Billy, we're going to close out our ESPN career while I am spending the holidays working with bands trying to make a long stat of the day. We're going to close out your ESPN career with your celebrity prognosticator being sausage fisted Bruce.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a big week for Bruce. We had mentioned him a lot that week, and I said, you know what? It'd be great if Bruce is the celebrity that we end this with. Granted, not an A-list celebrity, Bruce, I wouldn't say, but, you know, he's in the realm. He's in the celebrity realm.
Borderline.
Talked about.
Chris,
yeah.
How excited are you about doing a Mystery Crate with Bruce? Because it might be terrible. I don't think of him as an entertainer. I could see Bruce going for a lot of funny that he thinks is funny that is not in any way funny. But how would you explain... First of all, do you have to explain or set up for the audience who the hell Bruce is? Because I feel like this is really inside the show.
I mean, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. What he actually did, I'm not really sure. I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I just am unaware of what his actual tasks were. But he slept a lot. He had massive hands. I mean, we could do 5 minutes just on those two topics.
He stole sandwich. I mean, that's what he did.
Hell, the sandwich. Yes. That we could do that. Right. We got plenty to talk about.
He stole my sandwich. And I would say Bruce, with our audience, is an A-level celebrity. And you don't need to explain who Bruce is. Stop explaining. Yesterday you said you were going to stop. We were so proud of you.
Here's the thing about Bruce. You guys are a bit dismissive of Bruce, saying he just took naps. He had these big hands. Here's something impressive that Bruce could do with his big hands. And now that he's retired, Bruce is retired now. Congratulations, Bruce, on a full career of doing
good job, Bruce.
Whatever it is that you did, but you did it for a career and you did it well, apparently, because he's still got his neighbor. They see each other at Publix. So Bruce was doing just fine, it seems like, for himself.
He got out of here on a golden parachute. Bruce was the first one to retire before anyone got scared. Everyone, I've been writing checks to cameramen for 10 months. I've been writing checks. Bruce got out with a golden parachute right before that.
It seems like Bruce should have hung on a little longer, stay home, and you just write them checks for things. I mean, Bruce,
That's what we were already doing with Bruce's job here.
No, Bruce was an all-star. Another thing Bruce would do with his hands, I don't know if it was Candy Crush exactly, but he had an iPad that he would play one of those games that involved moving around different colored objects, and when you got them in a line, they'd explode. He did that a lot.
Okay, Stugants, I want... your help here
okay,
in the evolution of the show and the growth of the show as I get old. I don't know what I can give you in terms of a buzzer, a taser, something that gets me or helps me. And Mike, I'd like to recruit you on this. Actually, I might regret it, but I'd like to recruit all of you on this, okay? If we're making a judgment that from now on with freedom, one of the things that we're going to do as a radio show is we are going to stop explaining all the jokes. You either understand what we're doing or you're not, or you're going to get left behind. And I'm just not going to keep doing it the way that I've been doing it, because I was trying to be the most inclusive by casting the broadest net. And it's as annoying to me as it is to you that I have to or feel the need. I would like to be liberated from that. I would like to be freed from having to explain to anyone in the audience who Bruce is. But right. Because the reason I've done that all along is because, beyond trying to be inclusive, our audience kept growing. And I knew that one of the chief complaints around our show is always I hated it at the beginning because I just didn't get it and I didn't stay with it. Some right. people stay with it, but I didn't stay with it. And they found in those times when they were uncertain that it was helpful that I was the annoying guy who kept going back and explaining stuff. But the reason I'm asking you specifically about Bruce isn't because he's obscure. It's because, Chris, when you do this Mystery Crate, I would like the audience to have a visual of what Bruce looks like, because I think it's important to the comedy. It's one thing that you guys are saying, he's a person who You're slept, right. none of us knew what he was doing, he's got sausages for hands, but you guys were seeing every day what Bruce looked like with his head thrown back snoring, and it was visually funny. And so what I'm asking you to do for the audience is construct what this human being looks like, and going forward, I need you guys. I don't want to do it anymore. Honest to God, help
me. We're
doing
it now.
No, I don't want to do it anymore. But
but you sort of are.
Okay, last time then. Okay. Every other time, buzz me, tase me. I don't want to do it. But visually, what did Bruce look like?
I got this. He looks like the Hall of Fame guy, that scary guy that Stu Gatz talks about. He looks like his thumb. Like what that guy's thumb looks like, that's Bruce.
When you hear Bruce's voice, you'll see Bruce. Like Bruce looks like Bruce sounds, which is I don't know anyone else that looks more the way they sound than Bruce. Also, just a quick little derailment here. Which one of us do you think would do the best in a 55 plus retirement community? Because Bruce lived in one of those and he would talk about it often and he'd tell us about pickleball. He taught me what pickleball was. Bruce owned that place, right? So I'm trying to figure out which one of us would do great in that environment. I think the easy answer is Greg. Actually, you know what, Greg? You know where I could see you? I saw something that they were building a Margaritaville retirement community, I feel like you would thrive there.
It's true. I would probably own that community. You know, I would become the mayor of Margaritaville. But I don't know mentally if I'm ready for that. You know, we actually have friends who are about to move into a retirement community with two other couples they know in the Northeast. And my wife and I have talked about that, like, wow, could we do that? Is that something we would ever do? And, you know, when you get to be my age, that's actually part of the conversation of life. So it's going to be weird to maybe confront that.
Greg, are you fighting that with everything that you have? Because I think once you do that, you're basically saying my life is, it's almost over.
Oh, but it's so nice. It's so relaxing. It must be so freeing to be like, I'm just going to go over here and dodder around with my wife and drink beers all day in Margaritaville.
Exactly.
You guys are going to try to make that sound like a bad thing?
It's a dream. I wish I was 55 so I could do that.
He's already doing it.
No, but here's the thing. I'm basically an antisocial person. I don't want to go to a ballroom and eat my dinner with, 140 other couples that I don't know. You know, it's just, forget that noise.
Okay, but I'm assuming that you can have a retirement community that doesn't have a cafeteria. I'm assuming that...
Do they have a bar?
That's all you'd need, Greg.
Well, I'm assuming the dining is optional. Like, if you want to eat at home, you can stay at home, Greg.
Greg is making it sound like he's cattle prodded over to the cafeteria with 60 Bud Grants to go have to sit next to him and have mashed potatoes at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. I need my drinks and I need a golf course and I can do all that around here. Like, why do I have to live in a quote unquote community with other old people reminding me how old I am?
Exactly. You know,
it seems kind of depressing, to be honest with you.
No, because you'd be the young buck in that community. You'd be the one running the place. Your golf game would never look better than it does there. Your tennis game, your
shuffleboard.
Dance
moves.
Oh, that's true.
Everything that you do there, you'd be at the top of the game.
It's right. A good
I love shuffleboard, actually, believe it or not. Clickety clack, don't look back. I mean, I can play me some shuffleboard.
Mm-hmm. What
so
do you
never
mean?
Know. You know, I'd be walking around wowing the old women, going, baby, and that everybody gets sick of it, and I'd be ostracized. It'd be an ugly thing.
What do you mean, clickety clack? Don't look
seriously.
Back.
Shuffleboard talk, Dan. Come on.
Yeah, it's shuffleboard talk.
Exactly. I mean,
shock.
The sound of shuffleboard is beauteous. I mean, it's just, forget the game itself. The sound of it. You close your eyes and you listen to a shuffleboard game and you're in heaven.
Yes, clickety clack. But what's the don't look back?
Well, that's just an embellishment. Clickety clack is the meat of that phrase. And don't look back is just like the dessert.
Right, it rhymes.
Don't look back, Jack.
Nothing like a good shuffleboard cue, right, Greg?
Yes, exactly. Shuffleboard's an underrated sport. It really is.
I feel like it's properly rated.
Do you? No, because it's associated with old age. But, you know, if Christopher, you have a three-year-old, teach her shuffleboard. Let that be a life skill.
I'll teach her golf.
Here's one thing, Greg, that I want to run by you now that we're on the subject of shuffleboard. I found what would probably the worst shuffleboard setup that I had ever seen. So like, I don't know if you've seen now, it's like very in vogue, these basketball courts that people put at their houses that it's essentially like rubber mats that they put down, right? And they like clip into each other. It's like almost like the little kid tiles that you would put down like in a playpen, but it's like a basketball court. And I guess water can go through and it's like this rubberized thing. I saw a shuffleboard court that was made with similar like rubber tiles that was put down. And I thought to myself, there's nothing worse for shuffleboard than friction. If
terrible.
You have these rubber tiles, there's no way that you can play shuffleboard on it. I didn't even play. I was on my honeymoon. It would have been a dream. I bowled on my honeymoon. I didn't play shuffleboard. I wanted to, but I couldn't because of the setup with these rubber tiles. You can't possibly get the disc to go where you want it to go.
No, shuffleboard needs concrete. You know, you want the mm-hmm. classic shuffleboard court that you saw in the front of an old motor court motel when you were taking a road trip with your folks back in the early 60s.
Greg, do you like having the last shuffleboard? It's known as the hammer, having the last disc that goes, because you could destroy yeah. everyone's game. You know that?
Sure. I mean, you're batting cleanup at yes. that point. You know, you're in control. It's a beautiful thing. What's that Canadian sport that involves a broom? Yeah, curling.
Curling
is like a slow motion shuffleboard, mm-hmm. as far as I can determine.
More dangerous, too. It's on
yeah.
ice.
That's
ice
right.
is very slippery. I don't know if but you guys are like me, you cruise lovers like me, where you get on the ship and the first thing you do, you scout out the ship, you see the layout and you say, where's the shuffleboard? Mm-hmm. How do I find this?
Deck nine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shuffleboard is made for cruise ships. You ever try to play ping pong on a cruise ship?
Oh, it's the worst.
The worst.
Oh,
the
worst.
The worst.
Yeah. Windy outside. The boat's
yeah,
moving.
It's terrible.
And good luck finding a paddle and a ball. No one returns those.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the basketball court on a cruise? Solid. I know it's windy, but it's
too much. Too much. Yeah. If you're taking sneakers and basketball shorts, you're not cruising the right way.
I like it though. It's usually encased in like glass or something. I don't know. Like
With the high nets.
Yeah, it keeps the wind out of it. Right.
It's dizzying to watch.
All right, stop because I'm having.
Because you're hammered.
I'm having trouble.
That could be.
I'm having trouble keeping up. So forgive me for stepping on some of the frivolity here, because Cody, in the middle of this, I've thought to myself, should we test what we were doing last week and have Greg Cody on a landline again? Because you thought you were better and I thought you were better and we enjoyed it and you enjoyed doing it on a landline better than sitting there. But before we go down that path of answering that question, I need some important questions put on the poll, Billy. Are you ready? There are a few of them here, so I need you to keep up because you guys were getting hard to keep up with, and the only reason I stopped it is because I couldn't write anymore on the piece of paper that I had. So, shuffleboard, ? Overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
Is that our last piece of paper?
Is there anything worse in shuffleboard than friction? At Lebatard Show. Put that on the poll.
That's 100%.
Well. Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't even need
okay.
to go
no,
up.
No, you asked many of them. I was having trouble keeping up, okay? Does shuffleboard need concrete? ?
Same as the friction question.
Are you surprised at all that Stugatz would refer to the closer in shuffleboard as the hammer?
What they call it.
That I don't know whether it's true or not, but you should absolutely call it. I can imagine you playing shuffleboard in this retirement community, because we still haven't got an answer to Billy's question of who among us would be best in a retirement community, because I vote Stugatz.
You imagine me at the shuffleboard
owning
got the
place, owning the place, running Bud Grant off the court again and again. Hey, Bud, eat the hammer. Here comes the clickety clack. Don't look back. Hammer.
You're absolutely right, and I don't know how I didn't think of this, but I could see Stugatz somehow getting himself some sort of medical waiver, medical clearance to get into a retirement community like tomorrow.
I mean, you guys are so
Let's
wrong.
Get on this, man.
You guys are so wrong about Cody being better at this than Stugatz. Stugatz would have a crime family of mafiosos assembled in the first week to shake down every goddamn Dick Vitale in that place. Another question I have. Again, I was having trouble keeping up, but if you're bringing sneakers and basketball shorts, are you cruising right? And also, is ping pong on a cruise ship the worst? Because I feel like this is the entirety of what we should be doing on the show today. I think you guys have given us a gold mine to play with here, but should it be with Greg Cody on a landline? Because Greg, you could tell the people, you and I were having the conversation, and we've kind of discovered it after all of these years together, that Greg Cody is used to doing radio a certain way. Somebody like Tony Kornheiser calls him, because Greg and I have wondered for a while, why is he so much better on Kornheiser's show than he is on ours?
Right.
Where he gets to be the smarter version of himself, but here we're always cutting him off because of like the format and everything here, like the mechanics of doing radio.
Well, he's coming on to those shows as a guest, as an authority on something. Someone thinks he's an authority on something, and therefore Greg is a different Greg, a better Greg.
Well, but it's not just that. It's the formats of how Greg Cody has done interviews on the radio as a newspaper man for 40 years. Kornheiser asks questions. He can be smart in 45 seconds and stop talking. And that's the way it worked. But here he's got to work with a bunch of others. Like, there's not, that format doesn't exist, and he's always thinking of himself in those circles. Where can I get in and just publicize myself? It's a totally different role. And so, Greg, do you think you would be aided by just in the same place you are now, in your office, turning off the Zoom and simply picking up your landline and doing the show with us that way, where we can see you, but you're just on the phone doing it like a radio interview, like you would do Kornheiser's show? Do you think you would be better doing it that way?
There's a good chance that I would be better, and it's because I would liken it to you very seldom see any sort of performer, whether it's a comedian or a singer, performing while sitting in a chair. And I'm much more comfortable pacing, you know, as if I'm on a stage, you know, as if I'm holding a microphone.
Performer, singer, entertainer. You're much
That's
more
right.
comfortable as like Sinatra is what you're saying.
Yes.
You can't play the role because I got the Sinatra role. You're not here to be in the background. You're not here. You're a performer, entertainer. What else did you call yourself?
I can be anything you want. I can be a rapper, you know, a bad one. But Roy immediately shaking his head. No, what I mean is, whatever I'm doing, I've never done a radio spot with any show in the country at any time where I'm sitting while doing it. I'm always pacing, walking around my house. I don't know whether my footsteps get into the mic or not. I don't care. I just need to pace.
If he does this over the phone, can he just mute his computer so we can see him pacing around?
That's what I want to do. Let's test this, Greg. Let's test this in the very next segment.
Didn't the performer, didn't we have to bring him out twice for our live New York show?
This is the thing. That's right. I'm not going to explain the joke, but yes, for our New York show, yes, it's one of the most amazing stories ever. He got the whiff of fame and glory and applause in his nostrils and forgot everything he was doing. You fancy yourself a legitimate performer / entertainer.
And prior to that New York show, I was the one complaining the most about all the rehearsals and the fact that we had to be at the Gramercy Theater for like 9 hours straight before that evening show. I probably should have listened a bit better than I did, come to think of it. You know, hindsight is everything, right? Yeah.
All right, let's test this. Next segment, Greg Cody on a landline. Next.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Is somebody calling me that I should answer it?
Yeah, I want to.
Is this the show calling me?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Right. Joining on the phone.
All right. We are rolling here. It's unbelievable. Chris,
I wasn't sure it was you calling.
Chris. Chris, this is unbelievable.
Greg, mute your Zoom.
He doesn't know how to mute his Zoom. I'll just keep talking. I'll keep filibustering. And now Greg Cody is just dancing around. He doesn't know how to mute his Zoom. So, Greg, don't even get anywhere near the computer. Just do your performer, entertainer thing. Now, you're on the radio with us. Just imagine. It's no longer a podcast, Greg. I know Technology is moving too fast. This is not on the radio anywhere, but this is just like you've been doing it for 40 years, pacing around that old office. It probably is that office. When you do Kornheiser's show across 30 years, is it in that office where you're pacing around? Is that your maximum monk-like performance vessel, that tiny office from the 80s?
Yeah, primarily, but I also tend to pace all around the house, literally up and down the hallway. I'm just more comfortable moving, and I can't sit still. My wife will tell you that. I don't know whether I have adult ADD or what, but I just can't sit still. I'm sitting watching 10 minutes of TV, and I got to get up and do something. It's just weird about me.
All right.
And so sitting in a chair for a long time is sort of like a penalty.
All right, let's try and do this then. Let's see if this works any better. We are doing an experiment. We may have learned something about the dinosaur after 30 years that we are testing. I hope very quickly at some point today to get back to the very idea of Stugatz on a shuffleboard court owning the hammer. I want to get back to that at some point because he was enjoying while we were taking time off as Greg Cody pantomimes, the entertainer pantomime shuffleboard in the Zoom.
When you have the hammer, Dan, you have the final disc, and what you could do is you could try to win the game or you could destroy someone else's game, and that's the beauty of the hammer. I mean, I got the hammer.
I understand, and I want to get back to that, but we have to test this experiment first. And Greg Cody, I just want you to imagine at all times that you are on the radio. You're not on this Zoom. My guess is you'd be better served, Greg, not even sort of looking at us. I don't think we're going to help you, although maybe the laughter will help you, but I don't want to put too much pressure on this. I feel like I already have. Too late for that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're overanalyzing it.
Yeah, lots of pressure. But you did make mention of the Levitard and Friends live event in which Greg complained about rehearsal the entire time and then botched the thing we forced him to rehearse several times over. We can relive that for our audience right now, Dan.
Oh, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Actually, no, not yes. It's just gentlemen because this is an unrelenting ocean of sausage I'm looking at. Gentlemen, may I present to you Greg Cody.
He was supposed to be singing here.
Woo! He was soaking in the applause.
He was supposed to go to a microphone. No, wow. He's not singing. He's just...
You screwed it up because
you already screwed up. Let's do it again.
Yeah,
we did this like seven times today.
You
get
screwed
out of here.
Do it again.
The song's for you. You're taking the applause. You're supposed to be singing.
He couldn't. He was taking the praise. He got caught up.
No. Let's go back and do it again.
What we rehearsed.
We did it like seven times today. He got it wrong every time.
Greg, are you attending a Laker game tonight? My God.
Go. Do it again.
Don't walk from it.
Ladies and gentlemen. Just gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Oh. You gotta sing soon. The song is yours.
Start spreading the news.
Yeah.
I'm grieving today because Zion won't be part of it. New York!
Oh.
New York!
Oh.
One. Too what soon? Happened? I'm sorry.
Look how happy Greg is. Look at how delighted he is, just beaming. Yeah. He's radiant back there. Do you think you did any of that well?
Well, I didn't nail the high notes, but at least back then I could at least attempt a high note. I missed my voice. But I will say upon hearing what I just heard, I'm less and less guilty of blowing the cue to start the song. What happened was this. The music was queued up a little bit too soon to eat into my time of enjoying the applause. And so what happened was the music should have begun a little bit later.
Right. No, it's a fair point. So you could soak it in longer, right?
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So it's Mike's fault.
Up a little. Yeah, right.
Let's go to the Miami Herald's Dolphin expert in this local hour to see if we can get an old guy opinion or a young guy opinion on Tua's TikToks. He is doing TikTok dances. Tua is adorable. He is cute, but Dan Marino is rolling over in his grave that a Miami Dolphins quarterback is out here doing TikTok. Greg Cody, your thoughts?
I love it. I do. And maybe I'm supposed to be the curmudgeon here who's like, you know, how about you win a Pro Bowl before you start doing this and that? No, I love that. You know, we Ryan Fitzpatrick is an old guy, but the beard made him fun. His personality made him fun. And now he's handing off the fun to a young guy. You know, Tua has a great personality, and he's showing it, and he's willing to show it. And I love that. You know, I think it endears him. I think it's going to make him popular with fans before his play on the field catches up and makes him popular. So I think he's doing the right thing. Why not, right?
Why you killing Marino?
That was the joke I was making. Rolling over in his grave because it's so right. old that old people would be bothered by the TikTok. Chris, did you notice that your father had a little swagger in his game while answering that question in the Zoom? Have you noticed that there's been a buoying of confidence here in your father's delivery? Did you see that he nailed the dismount as opposed to just yammering on and just petering out? Did you look at him? Look at him. Look at him. Look at him.
He's like shadow boxing.
The entertainer is in the house, people.
I mean, who knew sitting was his kryptonite?
The performer is here, baby. He can answer with expertise and a wonderful voice. He can answer and give us opinions. Look at him. He is going to take a vigorous swig from his bottle right now.
Put it down.
Proud of being a radio guest. Look at that. Greg.
You know what happened to me once? I don't know what made me think of this, but I was doing a phone spot with anybody remember Howard Balzer from the Sporting News?
Yes.
Okay, I'm doing a spot with him. I'm on the phone, and I'm in the middle of doing this interview about, you know, probably talking about Marino or something. That's probably what made me think of it, because this is years and years ago. And the fire alarm goes off in my house, the smoke alarm. And so I'm trying, I don't know whether it's very evident or not, and I'm trying to talk to Howard Balzer about the Dolphins, and in the background it's like, woo, woo, woo. And I just continued doing the interview for like 30 seconds with this noise in the background, and finally Howard Balzer just literally hung up the phone on me. He didn't say anything. He just hung up the phone, and I have no idea why I thought of that, but I just had to mention it.
Howard Balzer is such an old-time sports
Okay,
broadcaster.
Let's just pause for a second, because I would argue that, Greg, no, you didn't have to mention it. There was no point in mentioning it. Now
it
we've
really
got
wasn't.
No, let me, Chris, yeah. Let me explain to you what just happened there. What just happened is your dad forgot, okay, because these shifts are confusing to him. Are we on podcast? Are we on a megacast? Are we on the phone? Am I a radio guest? I'll tell you what just happened there, Chris. Your father forgot that he was doing a radio show and was just having an incredibly boring phone conversation with me, where he decided right. to tell me I'm wrong, Greg. He decided to tell a story about Howard Balzer, who nobody in the audience would have any reason to know. And so Gotts, who's lived his life in the media, just looked him up on Google and turned his computer to me and showed me visually what Howard Balzer looks like. Tell me I'm wrong, Cody. You forgot we were on the radio right there and just started doing a telephone call with me as if I had just called you.
No, I wish I had that as an excuse. But what did happen is there was a great sense of dread that came over me in the middle of that story, because I realized that I had begun a story that was going absolutely nowhere. I didn't know how to end it. I wish I had had the foresight to lie and at least contrive a more interesting ending, but I didn't. And it was just one of the biggest regrets of my life.
It happens. He was feeling himself. He was feeling the praise we were giving him. He's like, you know what? I'm hot right now. He was like a 3-point shooter. He's like, this story's good. Chucked it up, and it was just a brick.
The Balzer story.
Well, let's go back to being on the radio here, Greg. Go back to being a radio guest, because I can't believe that I read what I think I read in a column of yours where you voted for Schilling and then tried to take your vote back. Is that what you wrote in the Miami Herald, that you voted for him, and then you basically ran to the Hall of Fame offices and tried to get your vote back? Is that what happened?
Yeah, truthfully, yes, and others did too, because you know, Curt Schilling has been off-putting to me off the field for a while, but the thing that crossed the line was the Capitol insurrection where he sort of, in, you know, stood behind the rioters. And I just had to draw a line there because this is a misconception. In voting, there is a so-called morality clause where you can consider more than just what a player did on the field in casting your vote. And so, yes, after January 6th, I did email my BBWAA guy and said I'd like to rescind my vote for Schilling if possible. And he just got back to me and said, once the ballot is mailed, the vote is cast. And it's funny, the baseball writers still use snail mail. Every year you get a self-addressed stamped envelope and you have to literally fill out a ballot, old school, put it in an envelope and mail it. So, yeah, unfortunately I did vote for him. He didn't get in, which sort of pleased me, to be honest.
Dan, if you still had that vote, Greg now has it, but if you still had that vote, would you have voted for Schilling? Like, would you account for the off the field stuff when you had that vote?
Well, you are quite the instigator here, Stugatz, because you are dredging up, and he did this with some pride, and it's one of the many great reasons he's a good producer, because he knows he's putting a shovel in a spot that hurts here, that Greg Cody, with this gas baggy morality, it's amazing that I've arrived here in this argument because I threw away my vote over this, Stugatz.
Yeah.
And a guy whose politics I couldn't despise more in Curt Schilling, of course I would vote him in because his performance on the field. And I'm, and this is according to my principles and morality as a coverer of sports, right? Because I do not attach my judgment, my religion to these things. Was he a Hall of Famer on the field? Yes or no? And we could sit here and overthink it, and we can do all sorts of nuance on it, but did he perform in a way that was Hall of Fame worthy? And all of us would say yes to that. And the idea that his politics are objectionable to me, to make the Hall of Fame that kind of cathedral where Cody gets to be one of the saints, keeping people in on snail mail. He gets to be one of the saints protecting the doors. And look at what he just told you. Like, what he just told you should go viral because it's offensive. The idea, it runs against the things in sports. And you know what I'm about sociologically.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the things in sports. It runs against them that Cody has this vote and applies that principle to it that way, where Curt Schilling got no worse from one day to the other. Greg Cody submitted his vote by snail mail saying, here you go, he is a Hall of Famer. And then he did something politically that Greg Cody didn't like, and that doesn't change his baseball career not one bit. All it does is give Greg Cody more power to judge him.
I agree with you, Greg. I'm surprised that Schilling, like, if you're going to make that call, I'm surprised that he hadn't done enough to offend you before the final thing that offended you. Like, he's done plenty over the last few years.
Yes, that's correct. You know, everybody has a tipping point. And Dan's point that he's an obvious Hall of Famer is not true. He's been on the ballot for several years and fallen short. You know, when you look at Curt Schilling's numbers against other Hall of Fame starting pitchers, they're not overwhelming.
Greg,
what he did in the postseason
Greg, he was an obvious Hall of Famer to you before he did something you didn't like. You voted for him.
No. He was not an obvious Hall of Famer to me, okay? I don't think he – I'm not looking at the career table. I don't think he ever won a Cy Young Award. I mean, let's not make him, you know, somebody who's on the upper echelon of elite all-time starters. He was not an obvious
Hall of Famer. But you voted for him.
I voted for him. And when you're allowed to cast 10 votes, your first two votes are on a different level than the guy who you vote ninth. And so, yes, I voted for Curt Schilling, and then he did something that was so repulsive to me that I wanted to rescind my vote. And I stand by that. And by the way, several others did. Several others tried to rescind their votes for him after January 6th, and that's a fact. And I stand behind that. I don't have a problem with it. There is a morals clause, and you elect not to use it, but it is there to use if you want it. You are able to look at how a guy has behaved off the field and mitigate that against what he did on the field. And in Schilling's case, I chose to do that.
216 wins, a 3.46 ERA, and four times he finished second in the Cy Young voting. But I think it's the postseason, and that's why Dan would put him in. It's a slam dunk. Like, he's 11-2 in the postseason with a 2.23 ERA.
In Greg's defense on him being a borderline Hall of Famer to Greg voted for him in 2020, and the only other time he voted for him was in 2016. So, I mean, he seems to think he's a fringe Hall of Famer here.
Okay, Greg, what I want to ask you and what I want the audience to understand about my position on this, because it speaks to some of the few things in sports I actually still care about when it comes to the symbolism and how we use it, because we've been mining for gold around here for 20 years, me consistently in these issues that we're talking about, making a moral choice to separate the cathedral and the religion of sports and the judgment and the parental nature of it and just the way that fans and media scorch the athlete. I've dedicated my career to it, really. It's what's made me a player apologist and everything else, that I don't really enjoy the smearing of people who are clowns, entertainers, performers, just because I have the power to extend that morality over them and therefore make their careers less great than they actually were because they said something that I did not like. What you are espousing, you have my vote. I gave up my vote over this because of people who do what you do. So symbolically, you understand where our disconnect here is on. It's personally offensive to me what it is that you're saying as someone who lost his vote in a spectacle because I was objecting to the very thing that you're doing right now. We're shilling. And this is coming from a position of, I'd kind of like shilling to get every punishment the world has to offer for just being awful. But he wasn't awful in the postseason.
Look, first of all, you didn't get my vote, and you say that, I didn't get your vote, and you say that just to annoy me. I know that, and I'm annoyed every time when you say it. I got my vote because I passed the threshold of being a Baseball Writers Association of America member for the requisite 10 years, which is why I got a vote. I did not inherit the vote that you gave away in an apparent publicity stunt. So, there's nothing. You can be offended. You should be offended if there's no morals clause and if I just do that arbitrarily. But there is a morals clause. Writers are allowed to consider off-field stuff in casting their vote. That's why the steroids guys have trouble getting in. It's because of the morals clause. And that's just the way it is. Now, you know, you can think I'm wrong, but I'm one of like, whatever, 500 voters nationwide. And the consensus of that vote is going to be legitimate because it's a consensus of a lot of different-minded people coming in it from different ways. And the fact that Curt Schilling came very, very close probably does mean that his off-field behavior is costing him the Hall of Fame, for better or worse. But to me, that's on him. That's not on the voters. That's on him.
Why do I see a wry smile on the faces of Chris Cody and Chris Whittingham and Billy Gill and Roy Bellamy? Do you guys all understand how offensive this is to me? The very existence of Greg Cody as a saintly, as he chugs liberally from what might be a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning, like just like Uncle Dick.
No, beautiful coffee.
Can you guys see you can where smell it is? It. Can you see where it is that I find this offensive, that this person has a vote and I do not? That I died on this hill so that this person can have this power that he does not deserve?
You could have stayed living on the hill and voting the other way. This is what happens when you die on the hill. Greg gets to do whatever he wants and you can't cancel out his vote.
Moral cause, man. Moral cause.
Greg,
Come on, Levitard. Get off your high horse. self-appointed martyr over here. Please.
He's great walking, by the way.
He really is. So much more confident.
So much confidence. Yeah. He comes back at me. He doesn't just eat it. Come on, Levitard. He does shuffleboarding pantomime measures.
He like pointed into the Zoom at one point. He's trash talking.
He held up the deuces that Winfield held up in Tyreek Hill's face. He's like, all of a sudden, he's a new man, swaggering and invigorated. We talk Super Bowl with a confident, swaggering, pot-bellied Greg Cody next.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.